Welcome to Conversations with John and Lisa.
Great to be here with you, babe.
Hey, babe. So I was going to say I was joined, but you already like busted in.
I had to.
Yeah. So listen, we love hearing how this show is impacting you. And we have received so many reviews this month, but I want to highlight one. It is from Eaglet 3.
What a cool name.
I know. So I'm just going to read this. She writes, "I am a single mom." So I'm just going to pause right there and give her props. You are a hero right there.
Yes, you are.
And I so enjoy listening to Conversations with John and Lisa. I am a mom of two teens. That gives her even more props.
Yeah.
So I can put the podcast on while I am being their taxi driver.
You are no taxi driver.
No, she is probably, but they're probably not paying her. She's
okay.
You're just a shuttle service. Thanks for being real and talking about the things you have overcome and how you did it. And thank you, Eaglet 3. We totally love that you wrote.
Hey, Lisa, so I'm so excited because we're doing this series on being single, and I think this is something that absolutely has to be addressed. And guess why we're doing this series on single? Because
why?
We're listening to
we're
our
married.
Listeners,
I'm
right?
To, exactly.
Because we're married. No, because we really consider it a very important thing that we listen to our listeners on what they want us to talk about. I'm thinking, how many times do people walk up to Jesus and ask him questions, and he'd say, "Oh, that's not my topic today." He never said that. He would answer any question that was put to him. And so I just want to stress to everybody, please keep asking questions, because actually I think some of our funnest and most popular podcasts have come out of questions that people have asked. And if you look at the same thing happened overseas. When we were in Vietnam, we did 2.5 days of preaching and teaching, but their funnest thing was when we did 3 hours of question and answers. Isn't that amazing?
It was the funnest and the most uncomfortable for our interpreter who had to answer
really was
questions
because we got
about
really
sex
raw
in front of people.
Yeah.
In Vietnam. But we're not talking about sex. We're talking about singleness. Right,
and it's so important. On the last episode, babe, we talked about the myth that single people cannot lead ministries, and that is an absolute lie. It's not true. You have the Apostle Paul, you have the Apostle Apollos, who were both single and chose to be single so they could give themselves the work of the Lord. We talked about our friend Rosalind.
So we talked about Jesus.
It's a myth. So here's the deal. This is why we're so passionate about this. For you married people out there, the goal of this series is to understand how to include and welcome singles into the church family. We want to find ways to empower, to include single people and not make them feel isolated. And married people, remember this. It's only a role. It's not their identity. That's so important. And for you single people, we hope you find encouragement and inspiration for your season. Because let me tell you, we need you in the harvest fields. Jesus said the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Why are the laborers few? Because we're not encouraging single people to get out there and do the work of Jesus Christ. We also hope this series challenges you to not allow marriage to become an idol, something that you're living for, striving for, giving all your affections and attention to. Rather, we want you to fully pursue God's plan and purposes right now, today.
Yeah, so they don't have to wait until they're married. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, Lisa.
Exactly, because some people will never get married, and you should never wait no matter what. You want to be fully engaged. We are not even promised tomorrow. And I think that too many people thought getting married was going to solve everything, and then were greatly disappointed.
You know, can I make a point on that?
You can.
When I was single, you know, because I was interacting with a lot of single people, I remember there were certain people that their whole life was based on getting married, and they were living for it. Mm-hmm. And I watched those people after they got married, and about a year later, I observed something. They were like twice as depressed as they were before they got married. And they thought that their spouse would be the answer to their depression, when in reality, they weren't getting their joy from the Lord.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, we're going to debunk another myth.
All right. Already
mentioned the first one. And that this myth number two, is singleness is a problem to be solved. And the inspiration for this second myth actually came from another email we received. And this is what they wrote in. As a Christian single woman wanting to get married again, so she's gone through a divorce, there's a stat that the church is made up of about 60 to 70% women. So the ratio of equally yoked believers is incredibly off balance. And what she's talking about is, it says, don't be unequally yoked. And she's like, hey,
there's two girls for every one guy.
Almost. Yeah. She said, I know with God, all things are possible and he is the one who makes it happen. But I'm not just concerned about myself. I have beloved sisters in Christ who have been waiting for years. And she stretches out that word for God to send them someone with whom they can be equally yoked. This is concerning. It's been 4 years for me, and I have taken the time to work on myself. So she said, okay, I've been married before. I realize it didn't solve everything. I've taken this last 4 years to work on myself. Yet the stats are extremely discouraging. Please discuss. So, hey, John, why? Where are all the men in the church? Where are the men? Where are the men?
Well, you know, the Apostle James makes a statement. He says, count it all joy when you encounter various trials. Yeah. Because what do those trials do, Lisa? They cause your endurance to grow. And when your endurance grows, James says, and I just read this morning, it's so amazing, but he said, it will cause you to become perfect and complete and that you will lack nothing.
Wait, so you don't have to be married to lack nothing?
No, you don't have to be married. But what James is saying is this. A trial is when you have a desire for something, but there's a season of waiting on God. And let me make this really clear before I go any further. There's nothing wrong with being single and having no desire to be married.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with being single and having a desire to be married. Both are perfectly fine. But if you are the second category, single and have a desire to be married, you're in a time period where your endurance is getting a chance to grow. And the way he says it in the New Living Translation, Lisa, is amazing. He says, when you go through a trial of waiting, he said, consider it an opportunity to grow your endurance.
Wow.
So you are in an opportunity right now. And now let me say this. For another person, let me just give you an example. For me, I knew God called me to preach. But you know, for 7 years, God had you and I serve our pastors, and we weren't preaching. And that was a real season of developing endurance in you and I, especially me. And so it may not just be a single. You may be believing God for something else. Maybe it's a part of your health. And there's a time period from the time you believe God for the restoration of, let's say, a torn ACL and the time that you're going to be running again. That develops endurance, and listen to the output of endurance. You're perfect. You're complete. You're lacking nothing. You know, Jesus rebuked a church for saying that we have need of nothing.
Right.
But yet God himself says the person that allows endurance to work that character of Christ in them, they're perfect. God says you're perfect. Now, it's one thing for you to say you're complete and need nothing, but it's another thing when God says, hey, you are complete and you need nothing. So I don't care what category you fall into. If you fall into the second category and you really desire to be married, guess what? God is working something amazing in you. And here's the deal. Your steps are ordered of the Lord. So that means that God is, first of all, going to answer your prayer because he puts desires in our heart, but there might be a waiting period.
Or there's longings in this life that are satisfied in eternity. And it doesn't make it wrong to have a longing. It doesn't make it wrong to have a desire. I think that God weaves that desire for an intimate other, that one that knows us fully and loves us completely. That thing is woven into us because the only person that can actually be that is Jesus. You know, I love That's what good. Psalm 37:23 says. It says the Lord directs the steps of the godly. So it doesn't matter how many people are percentage of males in a church, whether you're wanting to stay single or wanting to get married, God is going to direct your path. You're going to have to believe that. And he delights in every detail of their lives. So if people have their hope set on that one day when I get married, you know, that problem will be solved. Their hope might be deferred. But if they understand that singleness is not a problem to be solved, that it
That's
is,
so good, Lisa.
That it is, it's just where I am right now. It's not a problem. Where I am right now is not a problem. It's an opportunity. And marriage is not a problem to be solved either. Marriage is an opportunity for growth. And so I think a lot of times you've got single people longing to get married, married people wishing they were single again.
Enjoy the season you're in and take advantage of the season you're in.
Right.
Let me amplify that, babe.
Mm-hmm.
When I was single, I had a lot of time to really focus on the ministry, which I did. But when I was married, I took advantage of the fact now I got a very wise woman who's keeping me from being stupid. So, you know, there's advantages for both.
I definitely think we both helped each other out of the stupid factor. But yeah, no, absolutely. And again, I want to just say that it isn't a postponement. It's not a postponement and it's not a problem. And there's things you can do as a single woman that you can't do as a married woman. There's things you can do as a single man that you can't do as a married man.
And you know what else has not been mentioned? The fact that God is our Father. And you know, Matthew 7:11 says this. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? And you know what else I read today? That every good and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, of whom there's no variation or even a shadow of turning. So God gives you good things. God is the one that the Bible says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll place his desires in your heart. He'll give you the desires of your heart. So if you got a desire to be married, be patient. Know that your Father is faithful and know the statistics 2-to-1 doesn't matter when it comes to your faithful Father who gives you good gifts.
Yeah, I love that. And you know, here's the thing. A lot of times when people are single, John, they feel like they've been passed over, that they weren't good enough. And that is a lie.
And I think social media can add to that too,
Lisa. It completely adds to that. And you know, everybody acts like my goal is to be in a relationship with that perfect other person for me. And the perfect other person for any of us is Jesus. I still remember in that hard season of our marriage when I remember when I took off my engagement ring and I said, we're married, but we're not engaged. Do you remember that?
Oh my gosh, that was horrible.
It was like about a year and a half of anger on my part. And I was sitting in my closet and I was really crying out from a place of incredible brokenness, because I think there's a big difference between being alone and being lonely in a marriage. And even whether you're married or whether you're single, you have to make that decision.
The second's worse.
I'm alone with God, not lonely. Mm-hmm. You know, and in a marriage, when you feel like you and your spouse are at odds, you can feel very much lonely,
though
you're married. And so I found myself in that season of wanting to do it right. And I said, God, you know, what are you going to do about John? Is he going to change this? Is he going to change that? And, you know, I'm sure God does the same thing with everybody he does with me. He never answers me about other people. He only talks to me about me. And so I'm like, are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? And he just said, Lisa, I need you to tell me I'm enough for you. And I was like, no, I'm not going to say that. Because if I say you're enough for me, that means you're not going to work in this situation. And I think there's a lot of single people that he's asking you the same question.
That's so good.
Tell me I'm enough for you. Am I enough for you where you are right now? And it came to this place, John, where at first I was kind of like, well, you're enough for me. Now, what about my situation? And then he just kept saying, nope, I need you to say that I'm enough for you. And then it spilled over into my worship time where I felt the presence of God so tangibly that I didn't just say, you're enough for me. I said, you're more than enough for me. And, you know, and again, John and I love to be transparent. It wasn't because I was married, because I actually felt like there was hostility in our marriage and a disconnection with a person that I lived with. But you're in a season where there's no disconnection with somebody that you live with, but Jesus is wanting to know that he is more than enough for you.
You know, I want to make a statement, Lisa, because somebody out there may be saying, but you just can't relate to it. To what I'm going through, not having somebody right beside me that I can hold their hands, that
but
I can
Jesus
share the universe.
But
Lisa, I want to make this point. And in the month of March this year, just 3 months ago, I was with you 3 days in the entire month of March. And can I tell you, I didn't sit there in the days that I wasn't with you going, why can't I be with my Lisa? Why can't, this is horrible. You know what I did?
I poured
myself into the lives of the people I was with. I poured myself into the working of the ministry. I was doing emails. I was writing. I was editing. I was preaching. I was pouring into the people that I was having dinner with and knowing that my faithful Father would bring me back together with the woman that I love the most on this earth. So what I did is I enjoyed the 27 days that I was away from you by doing the work of God, and I really enjoyed the 3 days I was with you because we had a blast those 3 days. I remember them very well.
Well, we're empty nesters now, so we're always in places alone.
Oh, it's kind I love of, it. But anyway, we can relate. So we just want to leave you with this. To you single friends, here's the conclusion. Your singleness is not a problem to be solved. Just think that through. It's not your identity.
It doesn't say I wasn't wanted. It doesn't say I'm not chosen. It doesn't say I'm less than. It doesn't say I'm unqualified.
Right.
It's just where you are right
so
now.
So you can live your life to the fullest. You've not been disqualified, as Lisa said. To our married friends, let's avoid asking questions that makes singleness seem like it's a problem to be solved. So unless invited, stop trying to matchmake people in your life. People
unless
that
you
are
have
single.
Someone for my single son. I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
So anyway, if you want to go deeper, check out our course on flying solo. And the way you can do that is just go to messengercourses.com and you can do a 7-day trial for free. So not only will you listen to Flying Solo, you can go through all of our courses in those 7 days. Our gift to you
wow.
for those 7 days.
If you don't sleep, you can go through all the courses. Wow. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. And I'm just going to be shocked if anybody accepts John's 7-day challenge there to go through all the courses. But if we want to hear from you, we love to hear your questions. We want to answer them. We love to have your reviews. So drop us a note on iTunes in the comments section and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any of the episodes in this new series. We are debunking singleness as a problem. And feel free to share it with your married friends so they stop making them feel like they're a problem and your single ones. Until then, this has been Conversations with John and Lisa.
Hey guys, Alex V here. I hope you have been enjoying the Flying Solo podcast series. If you want to discover the best things that you can do before getting married, don't forget to check out the full course I did with my mother at messengercourses.com. See you guys soon.